I would like to share with you our scripture readings for today. And I said readings because there are going to be two. These are kind of background readings for what I'll be talking about. I will mention them, but I'm not going to break them down like I might typically. The first will come from the Gospel of John, and the next is from Philippians. From the Gospel of John, chapter 1, verses 1 through 2. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was in the beginning with God. And Philippians, I'd like to read in chapter 2, verses 5 through 8. Let the same mind be in you that was in Christ Jesus, who, though he was in the form of God, did not regard equality with God as something to be exploited, but emptied himself, taking the form of a slave, being born in human likeness, and being found in human form, he humbled himself and became obedient to the point of death, even death of a cross. May we add meaning and understanding to the reading of these words. And now, as promised, I'd like to invite Nancy to play a song for us. Thank you again for being here, Nancy.
Thank you, Mark, and it's really nice to be here, everybody. I always feel welcomed here. First, thing about it, and this is a beautiful song that I remember from not so long ago, 1997. It was written by Kimmy Rhodes and Beth Nielsen Chapman, and I think you'll enjoy the words to this song.
Shadow, a break of this heartache.
always. Thank you very much, Nancy. You are missed here. Thank you for that so much. Today, I'm going to continue my look at an introduction into queer theology. This is part two, and as I said before, I don't claim to be an expert, just a very excited a student of this. Our message today is entitled, A Boundless Faith, Queer Following. So last week I concluded my talk with a quote from the Reverend Dr. Patrick Chang from his book, Radical Love, An Introduction to Queer Theology. And in it he says, God is the very manifestation of a love that is so extreme it dissolves existing boundaries. So as I said at the end of last week, it seems to me living a life that dismantles existing boundaries is the very definition of being in relationship with God. Now, in the life and teachings of Jesus, we're provided with part of a roadmap to growing this radical relationship of love with God. And it turns out that even the gospel writers in the early Christian church understood who they understood Jesus to be contained the seeds of queerness in it. Now, for those of you who might have just been a little uncomfortable with me saying that about Jesus and queerness together, and even for those who may not have had a chance to hear last week's message, let's just very quickly talk about what I mean when I use the word queer like that. Many of us grew up in a time when queer was an insult, so a word that felt sort of wrong in our mouths, and we avoided it. It was meant to hurt people. It was meant to hurt people. And regardless of what the children's rhyme says, words can truly hurt us because they are frequently loaded with piercing judgment and soul-crushing baggage. Well, things have changed. Since then, and much like the terms gay and black, queer has been reclaimed by the very people it initially intended to hurt. In my book, that is a beautiful thing. Now, the work that I'm talking about came out of the LGBTQIA+ community itself, particularly in a field called queer theory, which was borrowed from by gay and lesbian theology, which ultimately became queer theology. Now, the important part in terms of understanding how I'm using the word is what the meaning of the word has expanded to contain. Plus, folks were marginalized by a dominant society. Well, things began to emerge, particularly in regard to societal norms and expectations. Queerness, in part, became a critique of those false binary boundaries that tried to normalize everything to the dominant society. It started off primarily challenging the traditional understandings of sex and sexuality. Then, though, in conversation with other groups which experienced the heavy hand of false binaries that marginalized them, like black theology, liberation theology, feminist theology, several others, in conversation with them, it expanded to become a call to deconstruct those false binary narratives in all categories and to dismantle the systems that support them. And it was built on this radical sense of love and inclusion. Now, understanding it like that, let's go back to my statement that who the gospel writers in the early church understood Jesus to be in those are the seeds of queerness, which is the context within that context, I just said to say, in who the gospel writers of the early church understood Jesus to be, you can clearly see an understanding that he was a person who was to break through and down all of our assumed binary boundaries and barriers, opening us all up to a more boundless faith. Now, in some small ways, it's allowed me, to regain an appreciation for what are frequently considered foundational understandings of our faith. For me, there are parts of our faith that we are to claim whose traditional understandings, those traditional understandings flew in the face of my modern scientific mind. Things like Jesus being God incarnate, like in our scripture readings today, and in the resurrection. You know, over the years, I've certainly developed my own understanding of how to incorporate these beliefs into my life. For me, the language of God incarnate became symbolic language, pointing us to the divine within each of us. And resurrection pointed to the reality of the life-death cycle of creation, as well as sort of the little deaths that we are surrounded by. They both are very true for me, but sometimes I felt a bit like I overworked to make them work. Queer theology provides what for me is a much more satisfying theological approach to both of these understandings. It sees the story of Jesus as the beginning of a change to the understood boundaries between the divine and human. In the incarnation, we have the story of the boundary of the divine and human being smashed. Last week we talked about how in the creation story, we see an understanding of God that breaks down boundaries and false binary presentations. And traditionally, the church has understood the Gospels to tell the story of God incarnate, God come down, the divine becoming human. Whether you believe that as literal or as symbolic, we're left with an understanding of a God that breaks one of the ultimate false boundaries between divine and human. Just as in the first, actually on a continuum that has no either or boundary, the story of Jesus does the same for the human-divine relationship. It forever changes the relationship between humanity and the divine. That they're no longer like oil and water. They mix and they mingle together in the person of Jesus and open up the potential, that reality to all of us. Among other things, it means that God is no longer this ineffable thing so far removed from us that we can never be in full relationship with it. Rather, God is also within us, within humanity. Now, I won't fully dig into it today, but when it comes to the reincarnation, it's the story of Jesus. In the story of Jesus, we see a crossing and breaking down of the barriers between life and death. It's a theme that runs throughout the life story of Jesus. He confronts, crosses, and begins to crush divine, social, sexual, and gender boundaries over and over again in each story we read. And then he tells us that we should be doing the same thing. In our modern world, humanity can feel like it's working to overcome in a meaningless type of place. There are so many deepening divisions in our world. And those divisions are almost always based on some kind of a dividing line in the sense, some kind of defining boundary or border created by the dominant culture in an effort to implicate someone as other, dangerous, unworthy, not us, in order to marginalize the other and to further protect the power of the majority. Frequently, religious texts, or at least religious contexts, are used to justify those mostly binary boundaries of division. If you aren't like us, you are bad. And at times, they are even backed by Scripture, but rarely is that Scripture ever taken fully in context of the larger umbrella of theology and the overall text. But those of us who attempt to follow the teachings of Jesus should take particular offense to that. These binary boundaries of division are the defining lines of injustice, and they use our sacred texts to try to justify injustice. And that is unjustifiable. When Jesus was confronted with injustice in the temple grounds of Jerusalem, he was filled with righteous anger. He got to work literally dismantling the tools that they were using to take advantage of others. He started flipping tables. When we are confronted with injustice, we should too. That's simply what it looks like to follow the life and teachings of Jesus. For me, that reality is at the heart of the gospel message. It is the message Jesus spent his life trying to get those who had ears to hear to understand. It is a message of radical love, and you can place that emphasis on radical. It leads me to wonder, if radical love and its call in the name of justice to dismantle boundaries and barriers that take advantage of and marginalize people is at the heart of the gospel message, and I certainly believe that it is, why isn't it at the heart of more schools of theology? I'm not saying it isn't in any of them. It may even be quite important in some of them. Focus of them. Why isn't it the life force that guides their spirituality and intellectual perspective? That's a big reason why I'm so drawn to queer theology. Because that's exactly what it does. It's how Jesus saves us, pulling down the boundaries that have separated us from each other, from creation, from God. As Dr. Chang says in his book, Radical Love, he says, although God is actually sending forth radical love in the act of creation, sin can be understood as a refusal to accept this radical love. That is, the condition of original sin encourages humans to build up existing boundaries and divisions and refuse to dissolve them or tear them down. And in this framework, he says, Jesus Christ is the one who helps us recover the radical love that we've rejected. So I guess it turns out that looking at the life of Jesus through the queer lens has also helped me in my understanding of sin. Up until now, my best understanding of sin had involved the concept of missing the mark when it came to expressing love through my work. It's a good definition, but as we talked about several times here on Sundays, what love looks like can sometimes be very difficult to understand. Queer theology gives us a more actionable understanding to work from. Sin is missing the mark of expressing love, but it is specifically done by refusing to dismantle boundaries and borders that separate us from others. Dismantling borders and boundaries in response to and as a result of radical love is at the heart of queer theology and at the heart of what it looks like to follow the life and teachings of Jesus. Next week, our final part on the series on queer theology, we'll take a look at what that looks like when put into practice. And as I concluded last week, Dr. Chang says God is the very manifestation of a love that's so extreme that it dissolves existing boundaries. So I say, it seems to me living a life that dismantles existing boundaries is the very definition of being in relationship with God, and who is here does not want that. I encourage you to do so. Amen. Next, can we ask you to favor us with another song?
This is perfect. I wrote this song just because I was coming today, and I really tried to take the church community into my heart and something that I thought matched your vision, and I think it fits very well with what you just said about breaking down walls by spreading out the love that you have and sharing with yours. It's called I've Got a Little Love to Share.
Sometimes just feel like the way things are. The creation contains the possibility of heaven on earth, the fellowship of humanity. Let's never forget that the teachings of Jesus, as well as the teachings of so many other great spiritual leaders, can lead us to a world where suffering is reduced. And until that time, teach us only to confront injustices, but to comfort those who suffer and to be open to receiving comfort when we are the ones suffering. Amen. Thank you.